Blog Talk Radio.
Radio 470 AM. It is game day, people.
All aboard!
It's time for the South Carolina High School Blitz on the SCVarsity.com radio network.
Hello, everybody. It is Sunday, and that means it's time for the Sunday Drive on the SCVarsity.com radio network, breaking down all of the weekend's action and top performances around the state. I'm Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com. We are 1 week away, just 1 week, before the playoffs begin in South Carolina, and we're going to talk about who's who and who's still got work to do in the playoff and who's captured region championships. Joining me now is my good friend Richie Altman from the Lowcountry of the Palmetto State and Southern Sports Central Radio. Richie, how's it going?
Not too bad. Ready for another week. Of course, a lot of teams got a lot on the line for this past weekend coming up, or this weekend coming up. But this past weekend, a couple of upsets, if you will. But a lot of things kind of turning and burning, and guys now trying to either play their way in or getting played out of a playoff picture.
Yeah, there's some teams that certainly locked up playoff spots and locked up region championships actually this weekend, and some surprising games around the state that I was keeping up with on Friday night. But some people for all intents and purposes have been put out of the playoffs. I mean, there's a couple of teams that I was surprised at the beginning of the season. I felt like they were going to be sure playoff teams, and now they're fighting to try to get at-large bids, and it's going to be interesting. But I think for the most part, in most of the state, in 5A, 4A, 3A, we've got region crowns already decided. There are a few regions that are going to be decided this Friday night. But at any rate, this is a great time of the year, and it's hard to believe that it seems like just yesterday we were saying welcome to the 2019 season, and here we are talking about 1 week away from the playoffs.
Yeah, it's definitely flown by. And again, it's what makes football season so great from the college level to the high school level, because it is a shortened season. They get right to the points, and it becomes really throughout the season that every game is a playoff game anymore because of the way it's all set up with the brackets and who can get in and who is going to try to get in. Again, we are coming down to the final week this Friday here in the Lowcountry with that big matchup with Somerville hosting a very good, very aggressive team out of Fort Dorchester, who just destroyed a team out of Asher Ridge over the weekend after all the questions the week before. So they're looking for, and that being Fort, looking for some redemption from getting beat on their field last year in double overtime. They're looking to come in here and try to do something different in Somerville. Then you had Oceanside. You know, Oceanside has never beaten the likes of Timberland. They had some scrutiny this week. Remember, you and I have talked a lot about some of the things that had been going on with Oceanside, but Chad Greer, one of the best at getting his kids ready, staying focused. And not only did they beat Timberland, they win their first ever football region. And that's huge in so many ways, is now they'll have this up Friday night off, and they'll kind of wait and see where they'll play or who they'll play, because I would imagine they'll host their first game.
Yeah, I guess the thing that we're going to have to find out first is what's going to happen with the high school league and the allegation about the players, the violation of the four-quarter rule. And, I don't know. My understanding is there were other teams looking to see if this, happened earlier in the season as well. If that turns out to be the only game that they get dinked for and they actually lose this thing and have to give that up as a forfeit, it's not going to affect them that much. I mean, they're still, they're still going to be in the region championship, and I mean, they're still the region champion, and they're still going to get a playoff spot. Now, the thing is if other schools come forward and say, hey, we've got proof that they did it against us, then you're looking at multiple forfeitures and then, possibly not even making the playoffs. It's certainly something that has to be taken care of right away, because we're talking, less than 14 days before the playoffs start.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. You're talking about it happened at the last minute, and we all know the state doesn't really jump on these things pretty quickly. But this time they're going to have to show their hands somewhat quickly because this thing is going to kick off a week from this coming Friday. So they've got a little under 2 weeks here to get this decision made and put things in place. I would find it shocking if they find anything else on Coach Greer just because of the fact that you look back at some of the games they've played. And, again, however, they were up 53, I think, to nothing when this happened late into the fourth quarter. But, it's a rule. I don't like the rule, but it is what it is. And now they'll have to sit back and wait. And how bad would that be for those guys who have done everything they can do? They've got the leading rusher in the low country and a very good running back over there. For them not to make the playoffs, though, for something like this, that would be a huge, huge emotional trip for that entire program.
It would be. So you mentioned the games down there that were interesting. I was in the Midlands watching the games. I actually went to the Lexington Chapin game, which was really important for both those teams. Lexington needed to win so that they can set up a game next week with their rival River Bluff to finish second in that region to Dutch Fork. Which means they'll get a playoff game. Effectively, with the loss, Chapin has pretty much been put out of the playoffs. I think that the only thing they can hope for is to beat Nation Ford this week, which is not a region game, and then hope for an at-large bid. But I don't think they're going to get the at-large bid. I think, that we're only talking one at-large bid, and I'm thinking it's probably going to go to a team like maybe White Knoll, who has a fairly decent overall record because if you look at the regions across the state, especially in the lower state, once you get past the top three teams, the teams are not very impressive in terms of what they've done this year in their record. But Perry Parks, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, Richie. His Ridgeview Blazers played South Point for the region crown Friday night, came up short, played a very good game against them, but it was a 10-3 loss to South Point. So Ridgeview is going to end up with second place in that region. And then one of the games that kind of surprised me in the upstate was Westside going to Greenwood. Region 1, I talked about it a couple weeks ago and this past week. Region 1 is kind of an interesting region because outside of Lawrence, no one is really playing that good. But Westside goes to Greenwood and gets a win 26-9 over the Eagles. And Westside is probably going to end up finishing second in that region after starting off very shaky this year. So, a lot of teams with impressive wins this past week. I think Union County beat a very good Newberry team 28-21 in the upstate. That was another one of the upstate games. One of the surprising performances this week, Richie, was Sumter is my number two team in 5A. I think some other, the media polls has got them at like number four, but I think they're the number two team in 5A. They played a Spring Valley team who is really struggling this year, and Spring Valley played them to a 30-28 ball game and gave them everything they wanted. I have to tip the hat to Coach Robin Bacon over at Spring Valley for putting together a good game plan and playing Sumter so tough. But Spring Valley's in a situation where because Blythewood lost to Lugoff Elgin on Friday, Spring Valley can actually finish second in the region if they win this Friday night against Blythewood. If they win, they're second. If they lose, they're out of the playoffs. So there's a lot of games this week that are going to be meaningful. Down in the low country, what's the game that you're looking at?
Well, the biggest game right now, as I mentioned earlier, is you're looking at Somerville Fort Dorchester. Somerville, of course, hasn't had the consistency that you would see out of Fort Dorchester. He comes in here 8-0. They're 3-0 in the region. They beat West Ashley pretty convincingly, 41-14. Now, there were a lot of mistakes made from what I was told yesterday with some of this just small penalties that started to add up against a Fort Dorchester team that they'll work on this week to clean up. Meanwhile, Somerville coming off a week of relaxation, if you will. They didn't play Friday night, so their scheme was a little different last week. I talked to Coach Call over there at Somerville. He said, we just wanted to kind of let these kids have a little fun. So they did some things a little different to try to take a little bit of pressure off of them. But at the end of the practice on Thursday, they let it know, come Sunday, we're going to get back at it. To the normal schedule. So this, of course, is a huge deal. They're defending region champs from last year in that region 5A Somerville list. So they're looking to defend that at home. Now they're coming in at 3-0, 6-2 in the region. Now that's a big one there. Of course, if you're Ashley Ridge, even though you took one off the chin, they play stall. Now Ashley Ridge wins, they're in the playoffs. If they lose, well, it's not going to happen. Of course, that game is a big one. And then this one doesn't get a lot of conversation. It's on, in the Skeezer side. It's First Baptist. They've got 8-2 record. They beat Augusta Christian 35-22. They'll play Porter Gown this weekend. That's kind of a rivalry in itself. But they have a kid over there that's thrown for 2,275 yards and 17 touchdowns. That's a big deal. I don't care what level you're at. I always try to get people to pull back a little bit judging these kids because somebody still has to throw it. Somebody still has to catch it. And, of course, somebody's got to defend all of that in the mix.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. There's a lot of great games coming up this week. We're going to talk about some of them. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver from Dutch Fork High School and a Tennessee University of Tennessee commitment, and one of the Mr. Football candidates coming on to join us for a few minutes. And he was at the game, the South Carolina-Tennessee game this weekend. I actually got to see him and his family on TV at one point. They flashed by and going to be interesting to talk to him. I want to talk to him about his commitment and the trip up to Tennessee this past weekend. But we're going to take a quick break and word from our sponsors, and we will be back right after this.
It's calling your taste buds. You know that delicious-looking landmark, that chocolate-dipped cone in the sky located in Triangle City, West Columbia. Under it, the legendary Zesto, where folks have come from miles around the last 6 decades to enjoy the absolute best Zesto burgers, sandwiches, homemade slaw dogs, and hot fudge sundaes. All fast and fresh and friendly. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. Zesto West Columbia.
All right, welcome back in to the South Carolina High School Blitz Sunday Drive version. Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com, joined by Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central Radio on the line with me talking high school football. Richie, while we have time before Mr. Hyatt calls us, I wanted to go over the 5A region champions, the teams that have already clinched their regions. Up in Region 1, Lawrence, unbeaten in region play this year, outstanding season for those guys. They win regardless of what happens this week. They've got the region locked up. Dorman in the SEC of high school football in South Carolina, Region 2, has that region locked up, and it looks like it's going to be Burns finishing second with Gaffney in third. Region 3, 5A, Clover, Brian Lane over at Clover doing great things. He's got Clover with a first region crown in years over there. And that second, third place over in that region is still to be determined this week. Region 4, 4A, Sumter is the team that's going to get it. Second place is up in the air depending on what happens this week between Spring Valley, Blythewood, and Lugoff-Elgin. Region 5, Dutch Fork. It's been Dutch Forks all year to lose, and no one's going to beat Dutch Fork. Region 6, Carolina Forest locked up down there. Region 7, it appears that Goose Creek has got it in Region 7. And then Region 8, as you mentioned, Somerville and Fort Dorchester are going to decide that region this week. So there's some great number one seeds from lower state 5A, and we're really going to see some good playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think the thing that surprises me, and you mentioned a lot of teams that have already kind of picked it up, but for me, it's Goose Creek. I mean, this is a team that's got a really good combination between the receiver and the quarterback over there. And I don't think a lot of people other than those here in Charleston kind of saw Goose Creek as a dangerous foe here. They're 4-0 in the region. They're 6-2 overall. Now, they'll play Stratford for that rivalry this weekend. Of course, that's kind of a crosstown over the railroad track rivalry. But they beat the brakes off of James Island at James Island 42-14. But yeah, you start to kind of look around here. Goose Creek's got that, I'm going to probably butcher his name here, but it's Manny Makimun, who is his brother, I believe, is a defensive back over at South Carolina. He's thrown for 20 touchdowns, 1,545 yards. I mean, this kid's the real deal. He beat Berkeley. I think that was one of their big highlight wins. They did not have to play Somerville, and that's kind of something that everybody needs to look at as well because of that hurricane that came through on that Thursday. That game was canceled on a Friday, so this could be a matchup in the playoffs. Depends how it all sizes up down the road. But, again, I don't have as much vision on this team other than watching some highlights and things like that. But a very good, dangerous team that, again, not many people talking about, and this coach is able to kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah, and that's McQuamu, Manny McQuamu, and Israel McQuamu, of course, from South Carolina, who went up to Tennessee this week and took it on the chin. And I think that we are joined right now by a young man from Dutch Fork High School, wide receiver, Jalen Hyatt, who's also Mr. Football candidate and a Tennessee commitment. Jalen, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. How you feeling? I know you went up for the game this weekend, and I talked to your dad a little while ago, and you guys were on the way back. So I would imagine you're pretty worn out from the trip.
Yes, sir. You know, we just got back. But, yeah, very excited about how the guys performed out there. And you can tell that, you know, Coach Pewitt and all the coaches, they're changing the program. And I'm very excited about what they, you know, accomplished so far, and I can't wait to get there.
Well, Jalen, before we talk too much, I want to talk to you about the Tennessee thing. But before we get too far into that, I want to talk a little bit about Dutch Fork and you guys' incredible program that you have over there and what a great season you're having this year. Talk a little bit about your preparation that you do personally in terms of training. Like, what's your training schedule like? Are you training during the season? Are you doing anything outside of the normal practices?
You know, during the season, you know, what Ty said, you know, we're, you know, let's say we play Friday. We get one break and then we're back Sunday preparing for the next team. And, you know, during the week, we're still doing weight training. We're still maintaining our strength. And then obviously we're going to practice after school and all that. And, but it's very hard, you know, as a freshman, you know, learning the system, but once you get used to it, it starts getting easier, but, we definitely prepare probably better than any other team in the state.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody that you can point to as a sports icon that has influenced you the most in your game?
You know, I look up to Odell Beckham Jr. That's who I look up to. And, you know, he's a great receiver and great route running ability. And so I really do look up to him and how he, you know, performs out there on the field. So he's definitely my idol.
One of the things I like to ask all the players that we have on the show, Jalen, is do you have any kind of pregame rituals or superstitions that you go through prior to a game?
Yeah, I probably have some weird ones. Before the game, I look at, you know, some of Batman Begins, some of the quotes that Batman said in that movie, and then after that I'll listen to, you know, my songs and get ready. But that's probably the weirdest thing y'all probably ever heard.
that's not too weird. I mean, you get your motivation. Everybody gets their motivation from somewhere. Now you obviously are one of the top players in the state. In my opinion, you're probably the top prospect in the state of South Carolina. I've got you at number one. The Mr. Football candidacy, and I'll talk about that a little bit. Is that something? How do you, as a player, when you have the accolades coming at you and the media hype that surrounds you, how do you keep yourself grounded and focused on the football season?
It's hard too, even on the field, because you know, when you in our system, I used to play more of a boundary receiver wise. That means I'm just by myself, and it's easier for teams to double team and triple team or get the linebacker out. So it's harder on the field as well, but you just got to block it out and just keep playing and just keep focusing on me. And that's the main thing, main goal that I do.
Okay. Richie?
Hey, Jalen, this is Richie Alvin down here in Charleston with Southern Sports Central. I'm also the voice of the Green Wave for Somerville. And you and I have unofficially got to know each other pretty well. It seems like Somerville gets to play you guys every every year, and you guys have had your way with the Green Wave last year, a very, very impressive win down here in Somerville where you guys came off the bus.
Yes, sir.
You guys had that tempo, man. You get off, you got your jeans on, the T-shirt on, and I had a chance to talk to your quarterback, I think, last week, and I asked him the same thing. I was like, man, there's no way y'all could leave a little bit earlier here in the playoffs so that we don't have to see you again. But I'm really impressed with you guys. I'm really impressed with you, Jalen. And I had a chance to call your name probably a little bit more than the Somerville fan base wanted me to say, because it seemed like about every play you were either catching it in between the end zones or catching it in the end zones. What is it about Coach Knott that just has you guys – I mean, I see you guys on the sideline. Last year you guys came to Somerville. Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row Somerville came to you guys. And we made that long road trip up there to see you guys and to square up. But what is it about you guys that keeps y'all on the sidelines motivated? You have, I believe, I want to say a sledgehammer or something on the sideline. You're going back and forth. I mean, the tempo never stops from the field to the sideline.
Yeah, you know, we just believe in Coach Knott and, you know, what he does, because, you know, we know his past, what he accomplished over there at Independence. And, you know, he's a great coach. But preparing-wise, I think, you know, we start Sunday, and then, you know, we do more film than practice sometimes. So it really starts in film. You know, we get to know the players that we're really going against. You know, how, you know, what's their height, how much their weight. What, you know, what do they do all the time? What's their strengths? What's their weaknesses? So it's a lot that we do. You know, I'm very proud to call Coach Knott my coach, because he probably is one of the best in the state.
I got one other question. We talked about Tennessee. I went to Sockasee High School. Of course, everybody knows that's Hunter Renfro land, but there's another kid that's going to make his name up there being known, and he plays at Tennessee as a true freshman right now. And Kenny Solomon is that young man, number 31 out of Sockasee. He was a big track kid during the spring, big football player in the fall. Has he had any contact with you? And how exciting is that for you to realize that you can go in as a true freshman and actually play? He made a huge interception a couple weeks back. But tell us about that. Do you have any connection with this kid who is another Palmetto kid?
Yeah, I was just talking to him the other day, you know, when I went up there, you know, when they played South Carolina. And, you know, we already developed a relationship just knowing, you know, that he's from South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. So, you know, I know him well now. I have his number and all that. And but as far as Tennessee, that was one of the big reasons why I wanted to go. Just believing in the coaches and knowing that you have a chance to play early. And that's the goal when you want to go to college. You don't want to wait and redshirt and all that. You just want to go and play, and that's what I want to do.
Jalen, one more question before we let you go, and you kind of answered some of it just now. Your decision to go to Tennessee, what was the main factor that led into that? Because you obviously, you know, had opportunity to go to several schools, and what was it about Tennessee that sold you?
Yeah, the biggest factor, you know, was the playing time. You know, they're losing four receivers because, you know, they're seniors. And so I have a chance to come in here and make a big impact. And besides that, you know, with Coach Pewitt and the addition of Coach T. Martin, and then another addition from Georgia's offensive coordinator, Jim Chaney, when we brought him, it really, you know, it changed everything. Because, you know, when Coach Chaney, when me and him talked, we talked, you know, a lot about, you know, what does he want me to do. And, you know, we're going to use a lot of screens, go deep, short passes. So I felt home, you know, time I got there. And, you know, I'm very excited to go there and after the season.
Well, Jalen, listen, man, I appreciate you joining us tonight to talk to us a little bit. I know that the fans love to hear from the players, and just proud of what you've been able to accomplish, and just wish you the best of luck the rest of this season and throughout the playoffs.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Jalen Hyatt from Dutch Fork High School and Tennessee commitment. I tell you, Richie, it was funny watching the game the other night, the Carolina Tennessee game, and the cameras pan over to the Hyatt family, and they're all dressed in their orange and jumping up and down and hands in the air because something exciting had just happened for Tennessee. And it's great to see that. I hate to see these talented young players leave the state, but just happy for them that they can take their career to the next level and play somewhere. And I think that young man's got a long future ahead of him.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, there's not a doubt about it. I've seen him twice up in Dutch Fork in a playoff series with Somerville, where I called the game for Somerville over on ESPN on Friday nights. But yeah, watching this kid grow up from a little boy to a man, from his days as a freshman into now here he is as a senior, not surprised he's playing Power Five. Not surprised he's going to play where he's going to, because again, who wants to go and sit on the sideline and watch other people play? If you want to get to the next step, you got to keep playing. And again, Kenny Solomon is that kid out of Sacagawea last year who did what he needed to do. Now he's playing across the border over at Tennessee. And again, listen, Tennessee's been taking kids out of South Carolina. They used to go to Berkeley and just bus them in to Knoxville. So, I mean, this is nothing unusual. They understand that we've got a lot of talent here all around the state. And Jalen's going to fit in great. I think he'll get some early playing time. He's going to be a good fit for these guys.
Yeah, he's going to be good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we should have another special guest. We've got Jamari Littlejohn, linebacker from Gaffney, an Appalachian State commitment, is going to be joining us to talk a little bit about his commitment and about Gaffney football, and we will be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Score big your next tailgate with one of Maurice's barbecue party specials, like Maurice's rib special. 2 pounds of pulled pork cooked low and slow. A full rack of fall-off-the-bone ribs. 3 big pints of southern sides. 10 rolls, a gallon of tea, and 18 ounces of Maurice's signature sauce. V10 for about $6 a person. Now that's tailgate. More at Maurice'sBarbecue.com. Their pits have been hot since 39. Go team!
That great smoke taste is cooking up for you at Maurice's Piggy Park Barbecue.
Whether it's lunch, dinner, or taking home a bucket of the best fried chicken known to mankind, the one place you can get it all is Zesto in West Columbia. And they've been serving the freshest made-to-order Zesto burgers, hot fries, homemade coleslaw, and delicious hand-spun shakes and desserts for the last 65 years. Man, that's a lot of milkshakes and a lot of smiles. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. ZestoWestColumbia.com.
All right, welcome back into the Sunday Drive. Jim Baxter, SCVarsity.com, along with Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central, and a special thank you to Jalen Hyatt from Dutch Fork High School for joining us on that. Sound like a great young man. He is a great young man. I know the family, and a great family, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. Richie, talk to me a little bit about the playoff potential of Somerville. You see them closer than anyone else that I know as the voice of Somerville, and there's a special interest in what's going on between Fort Dorchester and Somerville, because Region 5-5A here in the Midlands, which is going to be Dutch Fork and Lexington and River Bluff in the playoffs, are going to be matched up with those guys at some point, probably in the first and second round with the second place team. And definitely the first round for the third place team. So talk a little bit about Somerville and what we might be seeing from them.
Well, see, for Somerville, the fun part, I guess, if you're a Green Wave, you watch this young team mentally. They might not be young as far as you look at the juniors and seniors on the line, but they've been a little spoiled with having three-year starters. You know, you've had the kids that started as sophomores. They graduated last year. I mean, so Joe Call has had these kids come through, and what you had is a bunch of guys now that are seniors, and it's a handful of guys, probably about 12 guys, give or take a number or two, that have stood on the sideline for the last 2 years and were told to sit here, hang tight, you know, and not really do a whole lot, you know, because, again, we've been very fortunate to have the leaders like Jonathan Bennett, Andre Banks, the McCurry family that have come through the pipeline here at Somerville, all the way to just so many great names that you don't want to miss anybody, but like a DJ Hancock, the kid that can run it, 1,000 miles. He's the last 1,000-yard rusher we had a couple years ago. But you start to kind of see these kids come on the field, Jim, early in the season, and they weren't ready. I mean, they didn't understand. The coaches did what they needed to do. But mentally, some things coaches can only take them. But so far, the kids had to kind of learn, you know, by default. They took a tough one off the chin the second week. They beat Woodland in week one, but then go to Wando and take a tough one on the road. I mean, it wasn't pretty at all, but they kind of grew from that loss. I thought they got better and better, and then they went to Wando and they had that – excuse me, went to Berkeley, had that lead on the road against the oldest rivalry, one of the oldest ones in the state, but definitely the oldest one in the Somerville, and they lost this one in overtime. And then they learn from that one. So they're learning, they're getting better. But I think the biggest thing for Somerville is, A, the pressure that the linebackers continue to put on, the cornerbacks turning around, getting the job done over there. That's kind of what we see. These guys are getting better at it week after week. And then offensively, they found out they have more than one running back. They've got five solid running backs. They've got a quarterback that can run dual threat out of the backfield. And Colby Shirey, he's a sophomore kid who's getting better, planting his feet, standing in the pocket, taking a hit and throwing it. I mean, you're talking about some big shoes to fill. I mean, Jonathan Bennett was the number two backup up at Liberty for Hugh Freeze until he got injured in the season in an injury. So that tells you how good Jonathan Bennett was. I mean, no doubt that you get a guy to come into his position, and their expectations are high, as they always are here at Somerville. And then we have, Mr. Wilder, that's a wide receiver that can play multiple roles. And then you can't go without saying Brody Hopkins. I mean, this kid kicks it, he punts it, he catches it, he runs it, he throws it. And I think everybody's got that athlete on the team, and he's that guy for Somerville. But, you know, it's like I say on many radio outlets and a few TV shows, is that it doesn't matter who's the coach at Somerville. It's just like what you see with the young man that we're getting ready to bring in here in a minute. That's actually another rival of Somerville in the upstate. The goals are always to win a state championship. Doesn't matter who the coach is. It's just winning that region. Well, that's part of the process to winning the state. You know, it's part of that checklist that Somerville's put in place. But I don't think you'll find a better overall staff that I've seen in a long time when you have a guy that used to play at the Citadel. He's our defensive coordinator, and Aaron Self, who's, he's disciplined all the way through, runs for the ball, gets to the ball, zero tolerance. I mean, zero. It's one and done on mistakes. And then you got on the other side and Coach Spivey, who, you know, he's the guy that invented that so-called the Philly special. It used to be it's the Spivey special that we actually beat Fort Dorchester last year in double overtime. And it was impressive to be a part of that event. But I think what you're going to see Friday night, and if you're not playing in the upstate or in the Midlands or you're not playing here in the Lowcountry, come over. Number one, enjoy the experience. There's so much history at McKissick Field over Memorial Stadium. But then to have this standard room only, and they're telling people to get in there at 6 o'clock. That's how big they expect this crowd to be. Both bands will be in the house. So it's going to be every bit. You'll get you'll definitely get your money's worth on Friday night.
It sounds like a lot of great stuff. While we're waiting on Jamar to give us a call, I'm going to go over. We talked about the 5A schools and the championships that were the region championships, region crowns that were clinched. I'm going to go over 4A real quick and talk about them. Daniel in Region 1, Daniel's played outstanding all year. Of course, they've got Tyler Venables, one of the top players in the state, quarterbacking for them. He is going to be playing safety at the next level for Clemson Tigers. But they have Belton Honeypath this week. And, of course, the winner of that game is going to end up winning Region 1 4A. In Region 2, Eastside and Greenville play. And I think that that, again, is going to come down to that game to decide who's going to win that region. Region 3, 4A, South Point locked it up this past week with a 10-3 win over Ridgeview. So they're going to finish second. Ridgeview's going to South Point's going to finish first. Ridgeview gets second, and Westwood will get the third spot in that region. Region 4, Richie, we had a great game Friday night. Unbeaten AC floor. All they need to do is win the game against Lower Richland to lock it up. Lower Richland, a team that started out 1-3 this season. Lower Richland gets the win and captures the second region championship for the Diamond Hornets under Coach Rodney Barr. And with an upset win over AC Floor. So Lower Richland wins Region 4. Region 5 this week, rivals Airport and Brooklyn Casey will battle at Airport, and the winner will be the region champion. The loser will get second place. Region 6, 4A, Myrtle Beach locks that up. But I tell you what, Wilson gave them everything they wanted Thursday night. And, in fact, there was a point at halftime that I felt like, well, man, we're going to see an upset. Wilson's going to upset Myrtle Beach. But Myrtle Beach comes back strong in the second half, wins the region. Region 7, I believe Hilton Head and actually I think Buford is the team down there. Hilton Head and Buford are going to battle for that. And then that's it for the 4A team. So it's amazing. All over, say, you look at the 8 and 7, so what do we got? 15 regions, all but about 3 of them already decided, region championships already decided. And it's going to make for some great playoff matchups if you look at some of those teams that are number one seeds. And, you know, one of the things people talk about the playoffs in South Carolina is that we have too many teams. And I've actually said that, too. I see both sides of the coin. I think we have too many teams, Richie, because we frequently see teams with 5-5 or 4-6 records making the playoffs as a number 4 seed and going and playing a team that, you know, might be unbeaten or one loss on the record and just being such a lopsided game that you wonder why we're even playing it. You know, there was a time in South Carolina where only the region winner and region champion, a region winner and region runner-up made it to the playoffs. And, you know, I've mentioned that before. That's not something that's very popular with a lot of the coaches. They like it the way it is. They like to see, you know, the kids get that opportunity to get one more game in. I'm kind of the thought that I'd like to see region winner and the region runner-up get in. And then if you want that extra game, just extend the regular season because you're shortening the playoffs. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, for me, Jim, I kind of look at it like college football. Everybody, if you get 6 wins, you get in a bowl game. Everybody's got a bowl game, by the way. I mean, it's crazy. And I don't understand why Charleston hasn't jumped into this bowl picture. I mean, if they're going to have and host the bowl game, shoot, why shouldn't Charleston hold one and get the SEC versus the ACC? They get the bottom 2 teams in both conferences and sell out a stadium and pack out a town from here to Columbia. I mean, it's a huge money maker there. And I think that's kind of what you've seen since they did away with the Sweet 16. You remember back in the day, even when I played, you know, we had a Sweet 16 where the biggest 16 schools in the state would make it in. Then you had the other 16 teams, and I guess they wanted to go head-to-head with these games. And I think there's a way that they could have had a championship between the two at the end or something. But for me, you imagine how big Somerville, Fort Dorchester, and Ashley Ridge would be. You know, Burns has kind of been able to enjoy some of that, not having other people get in there and tear them apart. Wando, we stay here locally. Wando hasn't had to worry about it until recently. You've seen what Oceanside's done, and now Phillip Simmons is over there. But West Ashley, they have 0. They have nobody over there really drawing any lines against them. So you imagine the powerhouse that would be in Dorchester County if Fort Dorchester, Somerville, and Ashley Ridge, at any point 2 or 3 of those schools joined together, it would be incredible football. And, man, it'd almost be like a college team between the 2 or 3 schools that are just here locally. But it is a lot of football. I don't know if there's a such thing as having too much football because I'm a big guy of the high school and college. But I understand that I don't see you benefiting a team that comes in here with 1 or 2 wins in a region. They're not really doing much in their overall play, but they're still the second-best team in that region, so they make a playoff only to go play the number one seed and possibly the number one team in the state and get obliterated. You know, it's a cool feeling to say I made it to the playoffs, but how much fun is it to come back 3-4 hours away from home knowing you just got handed it by 50 points?
Yeah, that's no fun at all. And I think it's got a lot to do with the gates. I think the high school league likes to get that gate from the first and second round of the playoffs. And I think that, you know, the home schools like to get it. But, you know, if it's just fear of losing the gate, you can always extend the regular season, you know, and I understand the other side of this. I've had coaches that, you know, that have said that, you know, well, what about the team that starts peaking late in the season and could do something in the playoffs? And I understand it. I've watched Batesburg-Leesville here in the Midlands go 5-5 before in regular season and end up going to the state championship game. So I know that it happens. But is that, you know, once in a, you know, 10-year occurrence worth having to watch the first round games that we have to go through right now where you've got teams that are 3-7 and 4-6 actually going to playoffs and getting their brains beat in the first round? But I think it's something that, you know, it's just another one of those things that needs to be looked at. We've talked about a lot of things that need to be looked at, you know, from the 8-quarter rule or not having the 8-quarter rule to the recruiting stuff that's going on in South Carolina high school football, and just a lot of stuff that we need to take a look at. And I think that the playoff thing is one of them. I mean, we reclassify and do realignment every 2 years. Why not take a look at the way we're doing the playoffs, at least, you know, as frequently? But at any rate, I think we've got Jamari. Little John on hold, coming on to join us from Gaffney High School. Jamari, you there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, young man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Jim Baxter with SCVarsity.com and Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central joining me here. Jamari, for those of you who don't know, first of all, I've been pushing this young man, Richie, since his sophomore year. I think Jamari Littlejohn's probably the best linebacker in the state of South Carolina in this classification. I think that Jamari suffered an injury. Was it 2 weeks ago, Jamari?
Three weeks ago.
ACL injuries. He's done for the season, but outstanding player. And I want you to talk a little bit before we get into your college commitment, which you broke live Friday night. Talk a little bit about Gaffney and what's going on with the Indians this year. There were a lot of high hopes for you guys coming into the season. You've had your struggles this year. I think some of it was due to injuries. But what's going on with the Indians right now, and what are the expectations for you guys for this football team for the rest of the season?
Right now, we just like we're building the team back right because we was missing two key players, me and Stan Ellis. And Stan mm-hmm. came back 2 weeks ago, so he a bit factor to our team. He leading the other teammates in the right direction, and coaching them on and off the field, and getting them putting the work in, like before the game time and all that. So it should be a more better season since staying back, and should go far into the playoffs.
Yeah, they're certainly going to miss you. I mean, you were a force in the middle of that defense, and one of the most aggressive players I've seen. Now, you announced your commitment live on Friday night on the radio, local radio station up in Gaffney, and you and Stan actually Stan Ellis both. Committed to Appalachian State, and talk a little bit about that commitment. Talk a little bit about what it was about Appalachian State that that sold you on them, and then talk a little bit about the decision that of you and Stan going. Was that something that was planned, and how long have you guys been planning to possibly play at the next level together?
It really wasn't planned at first. But it was like, at first it was a tough decision because we had a lot of schools that we was looking at. And then we had to go to a lot of visits and see what the school was best for us. And then when we both went out of state, it just felt like home. And all the coaches loved us and they wanted us to really come up there. So we went out there like 4 or 5 times and went to the games and all. And it just felt like home. And they treated us like that we was their own kids. And it just felt so real. So that's why we could out. It wasn't really a plan for us to go to the same school, but we really wanted to go to the same school, and it felt like that was the best school for both of us.
Well, outstanding, and I'm sure you guys are big pickups for Appalachian State and huge losses for the in-state schools. I'm baffled at that, but you're going to get to further your career at a very good school in Appalachian State. Now, real quick, you know, before we let you go, Jamari, talk a little bit about the timeline on you getting back. Have you actually already had your surgery?
Yes, sir. I had my surgery. I think the next week after I told my ACL. So, I mean, I'm already started back walking, you know, and I've been going to rehab and stuff. So it's going great right now.
Okay, so you're in rehab right now. So you're going to be good.
I'll be good by 100% in March.
Yeah. Okay, good deal. So you can start training again in March and get yourself ready for Appalachian State then.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, listen, Jamari, I appreciate you joining us on the show and outstanding play from you. I've enjoyed watching you really since your freshman year. And Gaffney's certainly going to miss you, but from my understanding, there's not a shortage of Little Johns in Gaffney.
No, I got like 7 more brothers coming up.
All right. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you joining us, and you have a great week, and good luck to the Indians this week.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Jamari Little John from Gaffney High School. Richie, great great young man. I've been following him since his freshman year. He's been my number one linebacker for the 2020 class since his freshman year. He and a young man from Hartsville who actually left and went to IMG Sports Academy. But I tell you, this is one of those things. He and Stan Ellis both it's one of those situations where I don't understand why the in-state schools didn't get in on these kids. I mean, Jamari is a little bit short for the linebacker. He's right at 6 foot. But I'm telling you, man, he's a monster in the middle. And it's just baffling to me how, you know, the schools like South Carolina, especially South Carolina and Clemson, didn't get in on these kids early.
Yeah, that's my thing is, and what you and I do, I struggle the most watching South Carolina on Saturday night in the secondary. And again, I understand we're a high school show here tonight, but we have high school kids here that are leaving the state to go other places to do other things. And I don't understand how that works out when they tell me that they have only five kids that they've offered scholarships to. Well, why aren't you doing your homework? Why don't you understand that Kenny Solomon went down to the state of Florida and one of the major universities and blew the doors off of his 40 and automatically got five offers? How is he not anywhere? How can you not make room for a kid like him? And then, you know, he gets to start as a true freshman. He's already had some key interceptions and end zones. He's done some great things. He can be a wide receiver. And then we just have the other young man that just joined us just moments ago as well, and he's able to do some things. And, again, I've seen him firsthand in Jalen Hyatt. How did he leave the state? So, again, you see the linebacker here, Little John. By the way, last name, got to be a big name, dude. You got to do big things. You got a name like Little John. We expect a big thing. And he's had seven brothers coming up, man. So that's called a pipeline.
it is a pipeline.
It's just frustrating, though, Jim, to see certain local schools in the state of South Carolina, and it's not Clemson because Clemson keeps rolling. I mean, they just, jumped back up to where we thought they would be after winning their game against Boston College. But for South Carolina and to see a guy like Jalen Hyatt, he's in your backyard. How does he leave the state? How does he leave the city limits of Columbia? That's where I'm the most puzzled is why are we struggling in Columbia when there are kids in Columbia? You don't even have to leave the city to get a kid like Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, I can see it more with Clemson with Jalen than I can with Carolina. With Clemson, they were only going to take three wide receivers, and they were looking more at getting that possession type of wide receiver, which is not what Jalen is. Jalen's a burner, and you know, but South Carolina could certainly use a burner in their offense, and it's amazing that he gets out of the state without an offer. I want to go over. While we're on the subject of since we had a wide receiver and a linebacker on, I want to go over real quick my rankings for the wide receiver position and the linebackers in the state of South Carolina. And you can jump in and comment on them when I get through this list. The wide receivers, Jalen Hyatt, number one from Dutch Fork, 6'2", 170. Hands down, best wide receiver in the state. He's one of the best in the country. He's got lethal speed. He is a legitimate sub 4.4. Speed, and he's got the best hands that I've seen in the state since the early 2000s. I tell people all the time, he's got the best hands I've seen since Roscoe Crosby and Tymer Zimmerman. Omarion Dollison, number two, great collegiate, 5'10", 175. He's a slot guy, one of the biggest playmakers at the position. He's a state leader in reception yards, and I would lay money on it, Richie, that he's if we kept the stat, he's probably the state leader in yards after the catch, too. And he's committed to Old Dominion, another one getting out of state. Tylee Kraft, Sumpter, he's one of the state's most dynamic offensive players. Speed and hands, excellent route running. He's committed to North Carolina. Top three right there, wide receivers, getting out of South Carolina. Lavelle Davis, 6'6", 205 at Woodland. Big-bodied wide receiver, reminds me of Alshon Jeffrey a little bit. He can stretch the field. Unbeatable in aerial battles, as you can imagine, at 6'6", can be that possession wide receiver. He's committed to Virginia, top four getting out of state. Jalen Coit from Sherrall, 5'11", 170, more of a burner type, kind of like Jalen Hyatt, slot receiver. He catches ball in traffic and great at stretching the field. He's not committed yet, but he's leaning towards Virginia Tech. So if he ends up going to Virginia Tech, you're looking at the top five wide receivers in the state leaving the state of South Carolina. I don't want to take up too much time going through the 20. When we do our recruiting show, I'll go all the way through the rankings and get through all 20 kids that we've got ranked at that position. But I want to go through the linebackers and get, at least get the top five in there. Number one, you just heard him, Jamari Littlejohn, 6 foot, 220, Gaffney. Very physical, big hitter, excellent key and diagnosis player, very athletic in pass coverage, and he's committed to Appalachian State. Deshaun Watson from Barnwell, 6'1", 205, very physical, explosive, aggressive. He's a kid, Richie, that Barnwell has kind of played up with his hand on the ground some as an edge rusher because he's got that kind of physicality. Justin Abraham, 6'1", 230 from Hartsville, another all-star player, physical, athletic. Comes downhill hard and plays well at the mic position. He's got offers from Georgia State and Liberty. Cole DiMarzo, this one that I scratched my head on. 6'2", 200 from Hilton Head. Very smart, very physical player. Fights off the blocks well. He's committed to Michigan State. How do we let a kid leave South Carolina to go to Michigan State? It just baffles me. And then Darryl Ware. You're familiar with him at Fort Dorchester, 6'2", 220, very physical, aggressive tackler. He's explosive. He's good in pursuit. He's got offers from Charleston Southern, Coastal, Colorado State, and Georgia Tech. Not sure if all those are takes or not, but that's your top five at the wide receiver and linebacker, and not a single name that I just called out staying in-state for their college career. I think Richie, you still there?
Yep, I got you. You faded out there for me, buddy.
Yeah,
so
I
got a couple of guys I want to throw into you real quick. And now, and again, I just when you don't hear their names on the All-Star ballot, it kind of makes you wonder. One of those is Luke Taylor. This young man's coming in here. He's a good sized kid. He's about 6'4", 6'3", a little over 200 pounds. He's a senior. Now listen to these numbers. He didn't make any of the All-Star games, and I'm not understanding why. He had 83 total tackles, 51 solo tackles. He had 11 tackle for losses. He had 4 sacks, a pick 6, and a couple of other key numbers here for this young man. Then Brody Hopkins. Now, Brody Hopkins is a kid who is playing in the North-South game. He is a wide receiver, 6'4", 6'5", give or take an inch there. He's a senior, graduating this year. Now, playing baseball is something he thought he would definitely do. Well, he had a great season this year. He can run. He can play. He's, again, I talked about him earlier. He's a kid that can kick it, he can punt it, he can throw it, he can catch it. He is that Mr. Athlete. He's that kid you want on your sideline and on your football team when it comes down to it. Now, I met with a young man, and this really impressed me when I had this young man from Fort Dorchester coming here. Brandon Johnson joined me. That's a 6'4", 295 defensive tackle. He's got a 4.0 grade point average. He's going to graduate in December. So he's signed, sealed, and delivered come January, but doesn't know where he's going to go. But when I looked at his list he sent me, nobody Power 5 is even coming after him when he said he loves North Carolina. But for me, how doesn't Clemson or South Carolina go and get this kid? He's a scholar, all right? He's got his grades in check there. He's going to graduate early with that a little over 4.0, but a 295, 6'4", defensive tackle. You're familiar with him as well. I'll let you talk about those three guys as well, Jim.
Well, I'll start with Hopkins. Hopkins is one of those kids that he's athletic and he can get some stuff done. He's actually on my list. He's in the top 15 on the wide receivers. But I'll tell you, the wide receiver list in South Carolina, and when Wednesday we'll go over the whole list, it's a very impressive list. So being in the top 15 of this list is actually pretty good. But I like Hopkins. He's a playmaker, dynamic. I think that, you know, he can certainly play at the next level. And just waiting on that offer. I talked about Brandon Johnson earlier in the week. He's a 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 290-pounder that I think can play, certainly play in the middle interior of a defensive line. He's certainly a two or three technique guy. He's not going to move outside, play a 4 or 5, but I think that he's a guy that people are missing on. I think he's got the ability to play bigger than what he's getting looks at right now. And he's another one of those kids that is kind of baffling that they missed the boat on him. Luke Taylor, you mentioned him, 6'1", 205 from Somerville. I think that Luke is another kid that I've got in my top 15 for the linebackers. Linebackers, again, strong group of guys. And we'll go over the whole list on Wednesday, so we can get these guys in. But you know, he's an outstanding ball player, and I just think that you know, that there's the colleges have this template that they like to put these kids in, and if they don't fit the template, they don't get the offers from these Power Five schools. So, and it's kind of unfortunate. Coming up against time, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this break and try to wrap this thing up with Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central. I'm Jim Baxter from scvarsity.com.
Score big your next tailgate with one of Maurice's barbecue party specials, like Maurice's rib special. 2 pounds of pulled pork cooked low and slow. A full rack of fall-off-the-bone ribs. 3 big pints of southern sides. 10 rolls, a gallon of tea, and 18 ounces of Maurice's signature sauce. Feed 10 for about $6 a person. Now that's tailgate. More at Maurice'sBarbecue.com. Their pits have been hot since 39. Go team!
That great smoke taste is cooking up for you at Maurice's Piggy Park Barbecue.
It's calling your taste buds. You know that delicious-looking landmark, that chocolate-dipped cone in the sky located in Triangle City, West Columbia. Under it, the legendary Zesto, where folks have come from miles around the last 6 decades to enjoy the absolute best Zesto burgers, sandwiches, homemade slaw dogs, and hot fudge sundaes. All fast and fresh and friendly. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. ZestoWestColumbia.com.
And we had a caller during the break that was asking about another player, Richie, Christian Miller from Hilton Head, strong defensive back, one of the top guys in the state. He's number 6, but I'm going to tell you right now, you saw how deep the quarterback position was in this state. The defensive back position is every bit as deep. When I did the defensive back rankings, I got 20 guys. Of the 13 of the 20 are Division I committed to Division I schools already. 3 of the top 5 are committed to Power 5 schools. So we've got a very deep, a very strong class of defensive backs in this state.
Yeah, I agree with the caller there. I actually personally know Christian, and I've watched what he's done down there a little bit south of Charleston and, you know, and down in Buford. Now that they don't bring those teams up here to the low country, we don't see them as much as we used to. They did the realignment here, and some teams had to kind of do different things so that they didn't have that travel time. But he and I communicate on social media. He sends me his film every week. This kid is hungry. He's ready. I think he'll play at the next level. The question is, who's going to give him a chance? And I promise you, whoever does give this young man a chance, they'll be glad he does. And he'll be a sleeper, I think, in this class coming out this year.
Yeah, he will. And again, I mean, it's a very deep class. I mean, if you look at the kids that are in the top 5 of the defensive backs, Andrew Phillips, from Malden, he's going to Kentucky. O'Donnell Fortune from Sumter, South Carolina. Tyler Venables from Daniel going to Clemson. Stan Ellis from Gaffney, who we just mentioned while we were talking to Jamari Littlejohn. Stan is going to be going to App State, committed to App State. Buddy Mack from Burns, another great one, committed to Charlotte. I mean, all 5 of those kids, and Christian's right behind him. I've got Christian at number 6. But like I said, 13 – of the 20 are committed to Division I schools. Stan Ellis, I wanted to mention Stan since I had Jamari on, and we'll try to get Stan on maybe next week. Stan Ellis is an incredible athlete, and I told somebody the other day, I think Stan Ellis is going to have a very long career on Sundays. This is a guy that can play corner at the next level and at the next level. He reminds me, in fact, I think he's better than DJ Swearinger was coming out of high school.
I agree with you. I think you're going to see it. And that's what's going to be great about this class. They're so deep in certain areas that there's guys that we haven't even scratched the surface on because we don't have enough hours left here in the show. But I'm going to tell you this. You're going to see a really exciting signing class. You're going to see a lot of schools. I don't want to call them smaller schools, but definitely some other schools are going to take an opportunity to pick up in some areas that everybody else maybe just didn't see.
Yeah. Well, Richie LeMann, we're coming up against the hour, and just wanted to thank you, Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central and the Low Country of South Carolina, for joining us tonight. Great show, and we'll be back Wednesday for a 2-hour show. I'm Jim Baxter with scvarsity.com, and You can check out our stuff on scvarsity.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at scvarsity. Everything that we put up on scvarsity.com has a link from Twitter, and the radio show is available. The South Carolina High School Blitz and the Sunday Drive is available. The archive, you can click on the link and listen to it anytime during the week. And that's going to be about all the time we have. You have been listening to the Sunday Drive on the scvarsity.com radio network. I'm Jim Baxter. Absolutely. Listen to me.